For a band that have been around for just over 10 years, Pond have been continually morphing into new forms of themselves with every release. Now with their 8th album, Tasmania, Pond have delved into the poppier side of themselves as they explore what it means to be living on this planet, and in particular this country, in 2019. We've got multi-instrumentalists Jay and James in the studio to discuss the path the Pond are taking. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi there, how are you?
Thanks for having us in.
Hey, thanks for coming down on I believe, very little or no sleep. Yeah. I don't know how you're doing it. You're looking all right.
I feel very strange.
It's all good. Is it like a bit like jet lag? Just like, you know, you're like you've flown across another country
It's sort of more of a delirious...
I'd like to point out to the jet lag to the listenership that it's not, we didn't like drink or party or anything.
No,
it's not self-inflicted.
Far from.
We got home, we left the gig straight away and closed our little eyes and tried to go to sleep for 2 hours or whatever we had, and we couldn't do it.
Well, congratulations on album number 8. And I reckon I was trying to account for you, Jay. This is like album number 16 or something like that for you all up. And it's a busy 10 years for Pond. And I feel like every album is sort of slowly but surely evolving the band. Do you feel that? Do you guys feel that it's evolving with every release?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's interesting you said, I was thinking before when you said like the poppiest one to date, because I've noticed with our press, every time we do an album, people say it's like the poppiest one to date and more melodic, and they also say it's like more experimental with every single one we do.
How can you do both?
Which I'm quite stoked with if it's doing both, because that's kind of the ultimate really, isn't it? If you can somehow make it more digestible but also more like out there at the same time.
Yeah. More crispy.
I like that word. But I guess, you know, every album you do has sort of changed, but every song you do changes as well. So it's really hard to say that any album is really making a step in one direction, because you do sort of step back to the older style with each album as well.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say that when you're creating music, you borrow from a little bit of the past and then borrow from maybe over here and then create something new?
Yeah, for sure. I find it nuts personally that people can make music in like and stay within their like genre, you know what I mean? Like I'm not even like having a go, just kind of impressed that they have the focus to like make a kind of a folk album or make like a garage rock album or something, because I don't know, I just, we don't have that sort of like mental fortitude to not like skitter all over the place constantly, you know. When you're getting inspired and when you're like digging on different stuff on a daily basis, it's so hard to know what to rip off.
The things you listen to sneak into what you want to make.
I always say rip off. I don't actually mean rip off, but I think we always have been quite a like referential band, and you can hear like what we've been listening to in each record. But I like that. I like that when there's artists like that, and you can tell what they've been digging.
Do you, particularly you, Jay, because I know that you write with your own stuff and you do Tame Impala as well. Do you use Pond as a bit more of an experimental outlet? Or is it the same as Gum as well?
It's more just the exercise of making music with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of those other like projects are solo things. Tame Impala is basically a solo thing.
Yeah.
And my thing's basically a solo thing. Whereas Pond is like an exercise in like collaboration and like accepting other people's ideas if they're better than your own, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes the Pond Records have a certain feel to them, certain like energy to them. It's because it's multiple people, like multiple people's input.
Yeah, you're all getting involved in the writing process.
Yeah.
The lyrics as well.
This new one's mostly Nick.
Yeah.
I have like one little bit on there, and Joe has a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of decided that Nick was the best at it a couple of albums ago, and we kind of just let him do most of it now. Especially if we have this, the solo records, you know.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to try and like worm my way on there as much.
Well, I've been listening to Nick. I mean, some of the lyrics are very poetic, you know.
Sure, yeah. He's always been really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Does he also ad lib some vocals in the recording process?
The end of like Burnt Out Star is ad libbed. But
I was going to mention that 8-minute jam near the end of the album.
Yeah.
And it's got Nick singing about like 1917 and Jakarta, and I'm trying to work out what that's a reference to.
Yeah, I've noticed that online and stuff.
I could find some sort of link to the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah, it's not. I'm going to ruin it. Should I ruin it? It's pretty. I think it's worth. It's
by telling the story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, not the story, but just it's not a year. It's a room number.
Oh,
it's like a hotel room
in Jakarta.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
I hope that gets out to the internet, because I've seen a few people online like Wikipediaing the year and like seeing what like political events went down. You know, historical.
I did exactly the same thing. I have to admit,
we were stuck. We were in a hotel room in Jakarta for a week. Our like passports got taken off us because we had like improper visas that we didn't know that they were improper, and we were stuck there like in, you know, in like visa purgatory.
That's a bit scary.
It was very scary. And the thing is, when you tell people that you're stuck in Indonesia in a hotel with lots of bintang by a swimming pool, they don't have very much sympathy for you. But you have to understand that it was like we were supposed to get up when you. Not having your passport in another country is a really weird feeling.
Yeah.
And we were Googling bands online that it had happened to, and there was an American band that had spent almost 12 months in a hotel. So we were kind of freaking out, like we were going to have to fly our like partners over to see them. And
that's the thing, in Indonesia, it's such a close destination. Holiday destination for so many people, but it's their rules are very strict. You know, they have completely different sort of laws to what we have, as we've seen.
An interesting anecdote I might say is that when we finally got them back and we could leave and we booked flights out, the two equal cheapest flights were one directly to Perth and one business class via Sydney. And we went business class via Sydney.
Fair enough.
And had champagne and we're just loving it. Even though we were like, we've been here for a week. We may as well spend another like 24 hours flying.
Love it.
Which is kind of insane that we did that.
Yeah.
I think you guys, I think Joe was pretty keen for it. Oh no, he wasn't. You were pretty keen.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
But yeah, it's a room number, not a year.
All right, well, it solves everything. Hopefully this will get out there and people will go, oh.
I don't think it really, like, illuminates the, like, message anymore. But
no, I mean, look, some of the lyrics are pretty esoteric.
Sure, yeah.
Sort of hard to dissect. And I looked at Daisy, which is obviously the first single you brought out on the album. And look, it seems like a pretty upbeat sort of track.
Sure,
but
yeah.
I feel like it's covering up a bit of a darker story there. Maybe related to Tasmania, the history.
Yeah, I think it's Nick. That's Nick, like remembering stuff from his youth in Derby.
Okay.
But I it would be wrong of me to try and analyze it too much because I've got no idea. They seem just as esoteric to me as they do. I've got the code that. To his lyrics a little bit more than other people, but still, I'm still just guessing. Like, yeah, I don't.
Enough.
It's kind of it's hard. It's interesting when you're doing interviews and stuff for an album because you don't want to be boring and you want to talk about what songs are about, but you also don't want to ruin the like the point of art or something where it's just to like to infer your own.
Yeah.
Meaning out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. So I don't try not to like. I don't really ever ask Nick what songs are about. I kind of just like one day on tour, it might just like click. You know what I mean? Or like some.
That's
or
great.
I might just have a completely different take on it, and it's kind of makes. It's kind of thing. I think that's what it's about.
That makes it quite exciting to be a member of a band where you don't necessarily know exactly the direction that everyone's coming from. Does that take into account the music as well? Like, I mean, I'm not sure how you collaborate with the music together and how you make it, but you've been described as organized chaos.
Sure,
as a band.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if that holds true in the creation process as well.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think we have more chats amongst us about what the music's going to sound like.
Okay.
I think this one, I don't know if it ended up like that, but we were, yeah. At one point, it's definitely going to be more like hip hop influenced. You can't
really,
you can't hear it, but
hip hop
like,
influence. I didn't get that.
There's like 808 drums all over it, influenced. And like we went and saw like The Weeknd or something at Perth Arena.
I think we'd finished recording it by then.
Oh, okay,
it was
something. I don't know. We went to a few gigs and just the sound of the shows. I think maybe it's more the mixing on the way like we mixed it with Kev.
Yeah,
reflects that. But
did he sort of. I mean, did he take over that mixing sort of process or did you all collaborate with the production?
He was kind of like driving
the
wheel,
manning
the
thing,
all there.
Because
yeah.
I feel like he's a little bit of a, what's the word? He likes to take control a little bit. I'm not sure if that's true.
Not really with our stuff. I think that's why people assume that he has done, has made all the decisions, like production wise, because of his own records.
Yeah.
But with our stuff, he does heaps of stuff that we want to do, and he doesn't necessarily think it's a good idea. You know what I mean? But he's like, all right, sure, you can put delay on the whole mix or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So a lot of the things that people think are like some crazy Kevin thing is some idea that we've had that he doesn't even really like the sound of. You know?
That's great.
And
though.
Vice versa. So like, I think it's But he's definitely, as his rack units and his software and stuff, you know, that we're using. So he's manning it.
We're talking to Jay and James from Pond. Their new album, Tasmania, just came out last Friday. Album number 8 in 10 years. Look, you can call that pretty prolific. And I read, Jay, that you write so much music that, you know, that's why you do your solo stuff. That's why you do other stuff. Because you just want to write. You just want to put that music out there.
Yeah.
How about you, James? What do you do outside of Pond? And do you sort of find Pond as your main creative outlet?
Yeah, sure. No. Not really. Although I do enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a big one, a big outlet for me.
Sure.
No, I'm really into like dance music or electronic production.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. So, I do that on the side under a pseudonym called Ginoli.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up. I obviously didn't research enough to find this, but that's really cool. But that does, do you sort of bring some of that influence or some of that you like into this?
I suppose
music?
So, with the, there's lots of 808 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Jin did most of the drum machine like programming on the album.
Okay. Great. Well, the album is getting some really good reviews and you're playing a tour right now. You played last night and obviously had no sleep, but you're hidden up Sydney tonight at the Metro along with RVG. How's it going to go with no sleep? Are we looking to, you know, just buzz it up a bit? More lights?
Well,
more
just before
excitement?
This interview, we were trying to get our flight tomorrow pushed back so we could sleep in because tonight's not the show I'm worried about. It's tomorrow when it's 2 days of no sleep. Then you're in big trouble. Geez.
Yeah.
But because we're flying really early tomorrow for some reason. But we couldn't do it for without paying a disproportionate amount of money to change the flight. So I think tonight will be fine. It's like we just kind of have to like tequila our way through it. Tequila gives you back. Tequila gives you back. It doesn't give you back the motor skills that you lose from not sleeping. But it creates the illusion that you're like that you have motor skills again. You know? You think that you're like Usain Bolt crossed with like Prince in your head,
overconfidence.
Yeah,
in,
exactly.
In your motor skills,
and that can actually carry you through. The problem is
it's a fine line.
You crash and burn. You get through the gig, and then the next 12 hours are pretty rubbish.
There's a downer after that. There's a come down.
Well, I think we might have to take that sacrifice to bring it for the good people of Sydney.
Well, get on down to the Metro tonight. I think doors are at 7:30. Still some ticks available. Get on the door, I reckon.
We're
going
to keep Sydney. Do our best to keep Sydney open.
Oh,
keep
definitely.
Rocking.
Yeah,
we're doing our best. We're here at 2SER as well. Thanks so much for coming on down to the studio and having a chat. And I'll play a song from you guys now. What track should I play from the album? What do you reckon?
I like Boys Are Killing Me. I like great Tasmania. Track.
Yeah.
I like Seleno.
Oh, that's Jin's one. Jin wants the app. Jin wants the app rep.
Love it.
Jin wrote a third of that, so he wants his like 7 cents or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think we might play your latest single, Tasmania, also the title of the album.
Yeah. Oh, you get some of
nice
that.
Nice input.
You get like 3 cents from that.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. No shade on APRA, by the way. They're actually keeping us alive.
Yeah, they're doing
so.
Doing
all right,
it all adds up.
Jay and Jin, thanks for coming down to us.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. Thank you.